Brothers, greetings for the church in Chile, from the church in Chile. The church where I grew up has behind the pulpit in the wall the words of Psalm 24 that we sing, verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place. So I grew up every Lord's Day reading that verse, and sometime when I was a teenager, that text began to worry me. Can I ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or may I stand in his holy place? For some time, that text made me fear a lot. And I have been preaching in the church sequentially the Pentateuch in these 6 years. And last week, I came to this chapter, chapter 23 in Deuteronomy. So I find the same question. Who can enter the assembly of the Lord? And what I read is that it's not easy to enter in the assembly of the Lord. So we will look for an answer to that question this afternoon, but we need to pray the Lord bless us through the preaching. Lord in heaven, you give us your word because you want to have fellowship with us. You are, oh Lord, we are your people, and you want we know you and your will, because you want we be holy as you are holy. So teach us this afternoon, how can we be holy, to be in fellowship, to be near and have fellowship with you? Please help us. Help me, give me the words to preach your word faithfully and apply your word in our hearts. Teach us how to live in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. So these verses address who could and who could not enter or be part of the assembly of the Lord. This word, the assembly, or the congregation, is translated by our Greek brothers as ekklesia, the word church. For us in Spanish, it's easier to see this because we call the church iglesia. It's almost the same. So who can be part of the church of the Lord? And Moses will tell in this part of the world who could not be part of the church of the Lord. The word church, the word ecclesia, means separated or called from one place to another. It's almost the same meaning that the word holiness or holy is separated to, consecrated to. So we must understand that be part of the church is to be saint, to be holy. The Lord wants that his people be holy. So people from other nations could live among the people of Israel as foreigners, aliens. But the Lord is telling who of that kind of people could be full members of the covenant people, who can take part in all the worship of the Lord, first in the tabernacle, after that in the temple, who can be a leader in the people of the Lord. When the Lord created these laws, he's clearly saying that the people would remain being holy, separated for all other nations to the service of the Lord. So, the first characteristic of who could not be part of the people of the Lord, he said in the verse 1, he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. So he's talking about eunuchs, They cannot be able to produce a family. They cannot have offspring, children. The eunuchs generally became to be eunuchs because of the ceremonial worship of another god. So the Lord now is talking about people who are consecrated to other lords, other gods, that are consecrated to another and false religions. So the Lord say they cannot be part of the congregation of the Lord. The second characteristic, or the second group of people, is in verse 2, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. So no merely illegitimate in the sense of born out of marriage, but children born of a forbidden marriage or incestuous marriage forbidden by the Lord, or more especially, people born because of marriage with pagans or what people of another nations, because they, for their parents, they have an inheritance of paganism in their hearts, in their practice, so they can't be part of the people of the Lord. So we see here two morals, reasons for people who cannot be part of the people of the Lord. Maybe we can think in these things like past things, but the New Testament has in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, say, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So the Lord continued to have a list of requirements for people who can be or can't be part of the people of the Lord. But the requirement continues. In chapter 3-6, we will see that there are people from nations that can't be part of the people of the Lord. Like in verse 3, the Ammonite or the Moabite. They shall not enter the assembly of the Lord even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. So here we have a prohibition on Ammonites and Moabites. The Ammonites had not given food or water for the Israelites in the wilderness. They done all they could to keep the people of God outside of the promised land. The Moabites had done the same. They brought the prophet Balaam to speak curses to the people of God. But the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Their attempt to curse the people of God was like a boomerang. They tried to curse the people of God, but the curse came to him because the Lord loved his people. They were not success bringing the curse of God upon themselves. As a people under the wrath of God, they could not be admitted as worshippers into the assembly of God. So, brothers, we sometimes think in our cultures where the word sin is not existent outside the church, the people think that they are good people and they deserve like heaven. But the word told us that we are not worthy of coming into the presence of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are born sinners in Adam, that we are under the wrath of God, under the curse of God. We must understand that people by default is not holy and cannot themselves come into the presence of the holy God. To be worshippers, the curse must be taken away. And that is why we need Christ to be our sin bearer. We need that he clean us from the curse that is given to us because of our sin. Because the wage of sin is death, is the curse of God. Other people who is also forbidden to seek the peace or the prosperity of the Ammonites and the Moabites. They are forbidden to make treats with them. They have no show and look for peace between these nations and the people of God. They must not speak peace to them. That says verse 6, you shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. So here we have an application for our evangelism, because it's common today to hear the people, the Lord loves you and he has a wonderful plan for you. But by default, we are not in peace with the Lord. Without Christ, the people is under God's curse, and we are by nature enemies of the Lord. So we have no to speak peace. In the book of Ezekiel, he talked about the vigilant, one man that must be looking the fields, and when he see the enemies, he must say, "Be careful! There is danger." When we don't see to the people, be careful, you are under the wrath of God. You have to be repented of your sins. We are being like that, vigilant and don't say nothing, and just let the enemies come and kill the people. So we must, when we evangelize, we have to say to the people, you need to fear the Lord. You need to fear the wrath of the Lord, because he is not in peace with you. The Edomites and the Egyptians were not to be treated in the same way that the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were not subject to a particular curse of the Lord. The Edomites, who descended from Esau, the brother of Jacob, were kin to the Israelites, their family. The Egyptians had shown kindness to Joseph and his family. Sometimes we think of Egypt just in the time of persecution, but for years and centuries they were kind to the people of the Lord. So the Lord say in verse 7, you shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. They were not to be viewed as permanently incapable of becoming part of the assembly, but rather, after three generations, they will join the people of the Lord. Verse 8, the children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. I think here we have a principle. The Lord wants the people must be sure that the people who will be part of the people of the Lord is holy. So even when the Edomites and the Egyptians were not under the curse of the Lord, they must be treated with carefulness. So not the first generation, nor the second generation, but the third generation must be part of the people of the Lord. I think it's the same principle that we have In Psalms 128, verse 5 and 6, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So they will be the good of Jerusalem when they see the third generation be good in Jerusalem, be well in Jerusalem. So the third generation of Edomites and Egyptians could be part of the people of God. Because when you are a parent, you go with your children to the church, and you go with them all Lord days. And they must go because you are his authority, you are the father, the mother. But when you see the children of your children going to the church, you see, I did a good job. My children are part of the church, and that is the reason why they came with their children to the church. It's what the Lord wants to see in these Edomites and Egyptians. They convert, they want to be part of the people of the Lord, they bring their children, and when their children came with their children, they can be sure now they are part of the people of the Lord. They share the convictions of the people of the Lord. They by themselves want to worship the Lord. They just don't want to be part of their former nations. They don't want to worship their former gods. Now I am the Lord, the God of this family, is what the Lord wants to see in these people. Now, were these laws to last forever? Were the nations never to be admitted in the people of the Lord, in the assembly of the Lord? No. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord spoke of a time when, by the instrumentality of his Redeemer, the nations that were once afar off would be gathered into the assembly. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53, verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In the servant, in the righteous servant of the Lord, many will be justified. In chapter 55, verse 4, say, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader, a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you don't know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God and he is the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So in the Lord, many nations should came to be part of the people of the Lord. Continuing in Isaiah chapter 56, thus say the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keep his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, "The Lord has utterly separated me from his people." Nor let the eunuch say, "Here I am, a dry tree." For thus say the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place, a name better than that of son of and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also to the son of the foreigner who joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servant. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and hold fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountains. I make them joyful in my house of prayer. They burnt offering and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. See what the Lord is doing here through the prophet Isaiah. He's saying what I say in Deuteronomy chapter 23 will not be the rule forever. The eunuchs and the sons of foreigners will be part of my people if they keep the Sabbath and hold fast my covenant. So now there is a solution for the problems of eunuchs and foreign people. When we go to the New Testament, we see a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So we find a eunuch converted to Christ because the promise that the Lord made through Isaiah is true in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord has one man that was holy completely. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, say, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son, who keep all my commandments. This is my beloved Son that is holy, that obey all what I ask. So he is the solution for the problem of eunuchs and the song of foreigner people. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and following said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted in him, by him, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging of a tree. Him God raised up in the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witness chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of all sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So, brothers, here I am a foreigner, but we all are foreigners. And when Peter see, and when these people see the Spirit coming to the Gentiles, they see the doors open for all of us. And the Lord showed that his love was not just for the Israelites, but is for us too. In Acts 11:18, say, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." The book of Acts follow what the Lord said to the apostles: "You will be witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world." I don't know if I am right, but I think Chile is the end of the world. And the Lord sent his Spirit to the ends of the world for all nations recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, say, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandment contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We, brothers, were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. But now, in Christ, by the blood of Christ, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, because Christ is our peace. So, who may come into the assembly of the Lord? Those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, who because of his work are no longer under God's wrath and curse. This, brother, is a radical call to be holy. No one without holiness can see the Lord. So, brother, think, do you love God above everything? You worship him in all your life, in all your time. Do you worship the Lord as he wants to be worshipped? Do you keep the Lord's day holy? Do you love your neighbor? Do you lie to your husband, to your wife? Do you desire the things of the earth? Are you a thief? Are you a liar? Do you have lust? When I see the Ten Commandments, I see that I can't go to the holy place of the Lord by myself. If you found the same in your heart, the Lord say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we see the sins of our heart, there is just one solution. go to that man that obey all the commandments, to that man who is God, that give his blood for us, to not just forgive our sins, but to clean us from all unrighteousness. Finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We were not the people of the Lord before, but he made us his people. We were far from him, but now, because of his mercy, we are part of his people. So we may proclaim the praises of him to other people. Because the Lord does not save us just to save our souls, but he saved us to he being glorified. So we must talk about the praises of him who called us, who saved us. We must praise him. We must talk to other people about him. But Peter continues and say, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Worship the Lord. Be thankful for his mercy, but living holy lives. Abstain from lust and sins, because they war against your souls. And in that way, the Lord be glorified too in your lives. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for our sins, but he don't want we remain the same. He wants to make us his holy people. So pray that he can make us more holy and his glory be revealed by our lives. Dear Lord in heaven, you are holy. And we are not holy by ourselves. That is our biggest problem in our life. Because you can't have fellowship with sin. You hate sin and sinners. Your curse, your wrath is put over the sin. The sin deserves death. When we see or hurt our lives, we can't find another thing but that we are sinners. So thank you for Jesus Christ, because he assumed the nature of man, and he was not like us, but holy. He obeyed all your commandments. But he was put in the cross. He suffered the cross. The righteous for the sinners. We thank you for the gift of Christ, for the gift of salvation for us. But Lord, don't allow us to continue to live in sin. Make us holy, that your Holy Spirit work in us, because you want your people be holy like you. Help us, Lord, that not just with words, but with all our lives, we be witness of your praises, your perfections, of your mercy. Help us, help your people, help your church, because without holiness, the church will not grow up and your name will not be glorified. Help this church, help the church in Chile, help our denomination, help all the Christian denominations, Christian churches, because we need to be more holy to the nations, came to glorify and recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.